Hi, this is Carl Weinchang for the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Daily Music Break covers all music, regardless of era or genre. Please check out the site, check out the music, and sign up for some free email newsletters. Please do that. We're very, very, very pleased today to be speaking to Sarah Peacock. Sarah is a Nashville-based singer, songwriter, and performer, and we're looking forward to chatting about her background and about her music. Good afternoon, Sarah. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Carl. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you very, very much for taking time out. We really appreciate it. To start with, I always start with this, or else I'm going to forget. Could you let us know where folks can learn more about you and maybe download some of your music?
Yeah, absolutely. My official website is sarahpeacockmusic.com. And of course, we always love for folks to join the journey on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My Facebook, you can find me there. It's Facebook/stalkthepeacock. And my Twitter and Instagram handle is simply @stalkthepeacock. So yeah, come on. We love new friends.
Hope it's Stalk the Peacock and not
Yeah.
Stalk the Peacock.
Yeah, right.
Describe, please, your music, Sarah. What are people going to find when they go to those places?
My music is it's kind of a mixture. I call it country rock. It's got a few elements of Americana. It's got a few elements of pop, but it's got a sort of a mainstream, like very commercial, catchy sound to it. People have said that it's kind of a marriage between Heart and the Wilson Sisters and Sheryl Crow. So that'll kind of give you an idea, but yeah, that's me. I guess I'm just myself.
That's all artists are. Thank
Yeah.
goodness. Do you usually play with a band? Are you solo? Do you go between the two?
I play a lot of solo shows, and I have over the years, just because it's easier and more affordable on the road for me. But I do go back and forth between. I have some players that I really enjoy working with, and I like to play with other people when I get a chance. It's more fun that way. A lot of times, you get sort of that different energy, adds a new dimension. So yeah, I do a little bit of both. Just depends. Depends on the show.
And are you live in Nashville now, right?
I do. I've been kind of in and out of Nashville since 2001. And my journey there has been very interesting. I started school in Nashville at Belmont, and I've done a lot of touring over the years. I started in 2005 and began cutting my teeth on the road, and then went professional in 2009 full time. And so my relationship with Nashville as a home base has been this sort of rinse, lather, repeat hamster wheel cycle of, oh, I got to get on the road again, and oh, I'm gone all the time, and why am I paying Nashville rent? Okay, let's get a storage unit. All right, well, 6 months later down the road, you kind of just get the hankering for home again. So, oh man, I really need to get back to Nashville, and so get set up back in a place, and it's just that same cycle kind of over and over again, about five or six different times over the last 7 or 8 years. So, but it's been home now for me solid for about a year. I came off the road a little bit last year and sort of reevaluated some things, and it's great. It feels like a community. I finally have relationships that I've been, cultivating, friendships, and just that sense of community that we all need, to drink out of that same coffee cup in the morning sometimes. It's a kind of a good feeling,
But I'm sure there's a lot of artistic musical inspiration in Nashville as well, right?
Totally. And our town has really been coming up, I guess, in the spotlight for just, being a foodie town and being a place where you can have pretty much anything. It's like a metropolitan with a small town type feel. It's just a cool place. It's a good place to be.
Where did you grow up?
Atlanta, just
Oh.
outside of Atlanta, a little town called Lawrenceville.
Okay, so you're a you moved you moved, I guess it would be a little bit north and a little bit west,
Yep.
Now 2000 in the information that you were kind enough to send in to us, you really had a very, very interesting 2014, it sounds like. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened and some of the strides you made in 2014?
Well, just to give you a rundown of 2014, I'll have to back up just a little bit there. For the last 7 or so years, I've been performing about 250 dates a year, and it's been an amazing journey and experience. A lot of hard work, of course, and it's a pretty rigorous pace. And I, up to this point, have not had any assistance really in booking. So I do all the booking and all the website design and all the graphics and public relations and all that promo and of course all the songwriting and the driving and all that too. So when I reached early 2014, I kind of hit a wall. I was actually on this little tiny island in Alaska called Dutch Harbor, and I had this, I know it's like the most random place, and I was out performing for some people there for a couple of weeks, and I just kind of my life just sort of slowed down, like all of a sudden. No cell phone, no internet, no connection to the outside world. And so all of a sudden I just had this enormous like ability to suddenly see the picture with inside the picture, and I felt like I could just sort of look at my life very objectively with no distractions, and I realized that I needed to make some changes. The pace that I was going at was not was it was allowing me to grow my fan base, and it was giving me a lot of great opportunity on the road, but it wasn't necessarily being productive in the way that I had envisioned that it would be. In other words, there are some relationships in Nashville that I knew that I needed to work on. I had a producer in town that really wanted to work with me, and some other connections that I hadn't really been able to pursue, being gone so much. And so I hit that wall, and I reevaluated my life and my relationship with the road. And I decided that I would finish up the tour that I was on and go through March, and then in April move back to Nashville and focus on it being a more permanent home base. You know, it was the scariest thing I'd ever done because the road is all I've ever known. I mean, most people have that stability as their mainstay. I mean, that's their life. They have their jobs, and they have their people and their grocery store and all of that. And I that was the scariest thing for me, is just coming off the road, not knowing, because as a independent DIY artist, you know, you're not making money or paying the bills when you're not on the road. So I had to do a lot of thinking, a lot of planning. But I mean, ultimately, it was the best decision that I could have possibly made for myself. You know, every decision I feel like that you could make on the road is just have always has this element of chaos to it. Even if it's a little bit, you never really have the ability to just completely, fully think 100% clear, 'cause you're always thinking about where you got to be next, how long it's going to take to get there, and all the other millions of things that are on your mind. And so, with that clarity and that, you know, lack of chaos, there was all this headspace that I had available to focus on new things that were very, you know, equally as important as all the other stuff, but I just hadn't had time, you know. And so, you know, you don't think when you're on the road in that chaos, oh, maybe I should enter this contest, or maybe I should do that, or maybe I should connect with these people, or, you know, that type of thing. And so, with that time and that extra energy, I was able to focus on things like that. And 2014 was actually a really successful year for me. I was invited to showcase at the CMA Festival last year. I won Best Song, the American Songwriting Awards for my song Hurricane. I wound up getting an endorsement deal with Taylor Guitars and DR Strings, and you know, I think there was some other kind of international like award, like runner up thing for Unsigned Only for my song Beautiful. And I wound up working with that producer that that I'd been trying to work with for a while, and we produced a really great project in the studio that we're shopping around now, and the response has been really, really great. So
see the guy from Wilco?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't have his name in front of his last name is Coomer?
Yeah, Ken Coomer.
Ken Coomer. That's something. Sorry to interrupt you there. I was just looking at this. I mean, without going too deeply into it because it's in your past, I was thinking, how in the world does someone be their own manager, do 250 shows a year, and write songs? It seemed to me, it seemed a little bizarre, actually. You know,
it's pretty crazy. I don't necessarily recommend it. In fact, I'm actually trying to transition out of the DIY, and maybe I'll be lucky enough to land a booking deal or some management here pretty soon. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? You know, just got to keep plugging away.
That's really something. So you backed off, and that, did it change the kinds of songs you were able to write? It sounds to me when you doing what you were doing, you would have 15 minutes from 1 to 1:30 in the afternoon. That's for songwriting. That's it.
Yeah.
Were you able to write differently once you backed off a little bit?
Yeah. And you know, that's how it really started. Honestly, I read this book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. And I started literally taking those 15 or 20 minute segments a day and just forcing myself to write. And it didn't matter if I liked what I did or not, I was going to write anyways. And in backing off a little bit, it's funny and ironic a little bit how it worked, because it's almost like I slowed down and then things started speeding up all of a sudden, you know. But the songwriting for me this last year has just been, I feel like I've just opened up a part of my heart and in my mind that I didn't know how to open before. I didn't have the capacity to open. And I feel like I'm writing the best songs I've ever written before. I mean, I've written close to 30 songs this year already, and it's only mid-February. So like, I've just been writing every day almost, it seems like, and just focusing on the writing and really wanting to write songs that make a difference, that heal people. It's just been great, just that being able to put my heart in that space of just really being vulnerable. And something about that is very strong. Do you know what I mean?
I don't, because I'm not, I don't let myself go there. I'll take your word for it.
That's
why we have artists. I mean, you know,
right.
I run websites, and you know, I rely on you folks for stuff like that. I'm being a little facetious. I don't mean to be, I was trying to be funny for a second. It sounds like it's a great place to be if you can get there.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a safe place to hang out 24/7, but, you gotta tap into it.
I am sure it's not a safe place to be, and it takes a leap of faith of, okay, I'm gonna do it, and that's it. Once you get to the point where you have the ability to do it, which actually leads to the next question in a strange way. You indicated in the stuff you sent in that you came to popular music perhaps a little bit later than some other people, and you were kind of steeped in broke your teeth on church music, religious music early on. If I got that correct, if I read it correctly, the two questions are there particular religious performers that you followed, or, you know, in that genre, who are influential on you, and what did coming to the more popular stuff that maybe the wider audience is familiar with a little bit later change kind of who you are as an artist?
Yeah, that's a great question. I did grow up in the church, and as a kid, I wasn't really allowed to listen to a whole lot of secular music, and I was very involved in the church. One of my all-time favorites growing up, and a major influence in my decision to actually pursue my music as a career, was Amy Grant. And I just respect the hell out of her. She kind of changed, and she created, contemporary Christian music. But when I was a kid, I just thought she was so cool, and I wanted to be just like her. But as I got older, and I started getting introduced to more popular music and all of that, my whole world began to just open up. And I think because I have such a strong background in faith, and I mean, I've completely evolved as a person in my faith over the years. I'm not the same. I'm not the same type of person I was 10 years ago in my faith. It's very much transformed, and I've taken my own faith journey. But I've found that as my music has evolved, at first I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do, and my music didn't really necessarily fit. But now country is sort of this anything goes type of genre, and it's also a very safe place for an artist who doesn't really want to be labeled as a Christian artist, can sort of openly bring up the topics of faith in their music, without the songs falling on deaf ears. You know what I'm saying? It's
So
a it's um, it's just yeah, country's a safe place for that. And I think that my music has sort of naturally evolved into that, being that I write songs that are a lot of, some of them are story based, but just those deep thoughts. There's some sadness in there too, but there's my music is very hopeful. It's got a message of forgiveness and hope for people. And my goal as a songwriter is to tell the stories that people are living every day, but that they're not necessarily jumping off the edge of their seat to tell.
are you saying that a song you might write now might be less overtly a religious song and have some of those themes as opposed to maybe in the past it might be more easily identified as a Christian song? Am I hearing that correctly?
I guess I've never really been a Christian artist, but I've always like struggled, I think, for my music before. I mean, until I started really honing in on where I fit in the world. I mean, in the world of music, up until I guess about 6 or 7 years ago, when I started really getting comfortable with the idea of like being a country rock artist. I don't think my music is religious per se. I think it's just real. It's real. It's about the things that people struggle with and deal with. And sometimes that's God, and sometimes that's love, and sometimes that's relationationships and things like that. So, but I think overall, just that hope and that forgiveness and all of that is just it's a strong theme for me, I would say.
Who in the secular music that you came to later, who are some of your bigger influences?
I am such a rocker and heart. And speaking of heart is one of my all-time favorites. And I love a lot of the classic rock, Led Zeppelin, Tom Petty, just all those guys. In the current, I guess, secular world of country music, and people that are recognizable today. I'm a Miranda fan. I like but I also like a lot of the older country people too. You know, you can't beat Reba, and I'm a huge Garth Brooks fan. Garth Brooks, and so a lot of those people have kind of rubbed off on me too.
Well, that's a good list.
Yeah.
And you featured prominently in what you sent in, and I think at your site too is the song Hurricane. Tell me a little bit about that, if you could.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was actually in the Northeast when Hurricane Sandy was coming, and I was in the middle of a tour, and I thought about canceling it. But some friends of mine in Red Bank, New Jersey, they just invited me to come up and stay with them. And so I decided, you know, what the hell, I'll just go up and stay with them. And so the storm, you know, came and went, and Red Bank was right around the heaviest impact spots for the hurricane. And so there was a lot of damage there, and we lost power for a couple of weeks. You know, the gas, we didn't have gas. And then when we got it back, it was rationed and the food was gone. And, but you know, I was just something about that whole experience. You know, my friends were very well connected in the community there. And we had this big bonfire the night after the storm, and everybody brought all of their perishables over, and we just threw everything on the grill and decided, well, we'll just eat everything now, and we'll starve to death later. And we just had this big party, and I played music in the backyard by the fire, but I saw a lot of people just stepping up to the plate, you know, their resilience and their community, helping each other, digging each other out of ditches, and just that kind of thing. You know, it's like we became family in those days, and following the storm. And when you go through something like that with a group of people, it's almost like it kind of bonds you for life in a way. And so I wrote this song called Hurricane, just about all of that. It's a love song, but it was inspired by that time there in Red Bank. And then I was invited to perform it on the CBS Morning Show in New York City. One of the producers was attending our backyard bonfire.
Oh, wow.
So they hooked me up on the show, and I went in and performed the song. And then I was having the conversation with one of the anchors afterward, and she said, "Why don't you make this a benefit song?" I said, "You know, it's a great idea." So I went into the studio over the holiday that year and recorded it and put it on iTunes. It's actually a single. You can download it on iTunes. And if, by the way, for anybody who's listening, if you just go to iTunes and type in Sarah Peacock, Sarah with an H, it'll all come up and populate all the different things you can download. But Hurricane is a single, so check it out. And the money goes to support the Sandy victims. So
beautiful.
But yeah, that song kind of had a resurfacing last year with that award, and we did a music video for it right around the anniversary of it in December of 2013. So yeah, that's the story.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sarah, if you can run through again where folks can find your music, that would be a great way to kind of bring it full circle.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, guys, thanks for tuning in today and for checking out the podcast. You can find me, Sarah Peacock, at sarahpeacockmusic.com, and that's Sarah with an H. And then, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you can find me on Facebook. It's facebook.com/stalkthepeacock, and my Instagram and Twitter handle are both just at stalkthepeacock. So join the journey. We love new friends.
Beautiful. Sarah, yeah. I'd like to thank you very, very much for taking time out. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay. This is Carl Weinschenk at the Daily Music Break. The Daily Music Break is at www.dailymusicbreak.com. Please check it out for Sarah and other great music. Context around the music, podcasts, other podcasts, playlists, and free email newsletters. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in. Bye-bye.
One little promise at a time, we'll reveal what can mean a love stronger than hate.